Welcome to Nocturnal Journal for June 2nd, 2018. And we've got a wild show tonight. We've got in the next hour, the 10 to 11 hour, we've got our friends doing a tribute to the Stay Out All Night Disco in Stone Park. Great, great place. We got the band in, the old Stay Out Night band. And in the first hour, we're going to talk about the state of the blues. What you heard there was our friend Eddie Clearwater, who was on our show in January in 2016. And Eddie, famous Chicago musician, the Chief. He passed away yesterday at the age of 83 of a heart failure. His services are going to be Tuesday, June 5th at 11 o'clock at the Chicago Jewish Funerals, 8851 Skokie Boulevard in Skokie. What was interesting about Eddie, and we'll bring it up to our panelists who's here, blues guitarist and teacher Fernando Jones, and one of his students from the blues camp, Donovan Lenicki. Got it right, Donovan?
Yeah.
What was interesting about Eddie, and I want to bring this up as a talking point, was the way, even early in his career, the way he was meshing styles. He called it rock-a-blues, and what he did is he just didn't stick to blues, and we would talk about this. I know he was very much of a devotee of Chuck Berry, but he did blues, rock, rockabilly, country, and gospel. It was a real mashup of all these different styles, and I think that was a part of Eddie's great appeal in all the records he did, most recently for Alligator Records. So, well, that was my first question to you guys, is like, how do you define the blues today? I mean, where is it at? And is it a mashup of some of these different styles, or is it really traditional?
Well,
Fernando.
I've always been a avant-garde or contemporary style player. I understand the tradition, but I also understand that a musician, just like an athlete, you have to play with the tools that you have. And sometimes your tools are limited, and if they're limited, then you stay in a box. And if you are advanced as a player, your music or your athleticism is in a different box. And I've always been aware that the greatest songs are always yet to be written. And so I feel my contribution to the blues is a body of original composition, so on and so forth, you know. So.
And Donovan, tell me how you're how old are you?
I'm 18.
18. So what was your entrance into the blues? How'd you get into blues music?
I've always been interested in, my parents, they call me an old soul because I've always listened to older music before the current music. Billy Joel or Eric Clapton, Howlin' Wolf, it's always been an interest to me, and I actually learned more into the blues and got into it when I met Fernando at the Blues Fest back in 2010.
You met him at the Blues Fest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Jones to you.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, what were you listening to? Did you have music at home? Were you listening to blues on the radio? Was it a collection of blues records? What was the input for you?
Yeah, we had a lot of CDs, old CDs or records, vinyls. My grandma had Billie Holiday it's just a lot of older music that I grew up on, and it just gave me a warmth towards blues music and made me want to continue it on for current and into the future.
So you meet Mr. Jones, and then you learn about the blues camp.
Yes.
How does that happen? Talk about the blues camp, and then you can elaborate on what you do. Yeah. So.
Well, when I met him, I didn't play any instrument. Really, I was kind of learning guitar, but I wasn't very good at it. And he encouraged me to try harder and to try different instruments. Don't just work on one instrument. And so he always says, I was in the back playing the bongos, and eventually over time at the camp, I learned so much when it came to just music theory and music in general, how it's not just about the instrument, but the soul and the feeling and the presence on stage.
So, Fernando, for people who are just listening for the first time, what is the Blues Camp?
Blues Camp is an international music camp that happens in different parts of the world during the summer. We established it at Columbia College Chicago in 2010. We kicked it off on Sunday, the 4th of July, and it's been rocking ever since. We do it through our Blues Kids Foundation, and some of our strategic partners include Micro Simi, Mary Barnes, Donnelly, LaForte Martin Fund, so on and so forth. And we grew from that all the way to having camps in Tokyo, Japan, London, England, so on and so forth. Even did something in Havana, Cuba. And the thing that
when
makes...
When did you do that?
We did that...
I think I heard about that.
I think that was 20... It was a year of the last presidential election.
Okay.
So it was at October. So it was at 2016.
Yeah.
So when I see a student like Donovan who really wants to play and has a talent and ability and is a mannerable young man, it makes it easy for me and my team to sacrifice from our own families to give them an opportunity, because my brothers sacrificed to give me an opportunity. So I love Donovan, and he's a fine young man. His band won one of the Chicago Music Awards this past year. He's had a standing invitation to some part of Canada, I think maybe the last 3 years, and he could elaborate on that. But I'm so proud of him and his band, and they're just, in addition to being fine musicians, they're good human beings.
Okay, Donovan, so what's your band's name?
Oh, we're called The Instinct.
Oh, The Instinct.
Yes.
Okay, and what do you play?
We do blues and rock, yeah.
Like modern blues, contemporary blues?
Yeah, we mix it up. We do a lot of older blues and kind of give it our own version and upbeat or current version of it.
Yeah. So what happens at the Blues Camp? Now, this year's Blues Camp is from Sunday, July 8th to Sunday, July 15th. I mean, you're all over the place. You're July 8th, Motor Row Brewing Company.
Right.
July 9th, Columbia College.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners what happens.
Blues Camp, it starts July 8th.
Right.
And we still have openings for student musicians who want to come. And we're promoting it for student musicians ages 12 to 18. They can be beginner, intermediate, or advanced. And they can reach us at blueskids.com/Chicago. They can audition online. The students are put into ensembles based on age and skill level. They have instruction from roughly 8 o'clock until 11 o'clock in the morning. We have extracurricular activities for them to perform and provide the evidence of what they've learned throughout the week. We have activities such as on Monday, I'm going to take them skating and bowling so that they can bond together and just be American kids.
Yeah, right.
Tuesday, we are having our own blues day at the Motor Row Brewing Company. Wednesday night, we'll be at Reggie's Rock Club. Thursday, we'll be at Navy Pier. And these are all after the camp day. And Friday, we have an annual white party where people put on their nice, fine white clothes, and we meet at the Glessner House Museum.
Oh, wow. Do you really?
And we perform. And if the kids are really nice and... have a good time, we bring a game truck and we let them play on the game truck and the whole bit. And on Saturday, this is the first time that we will have three institutions of higher learning collaborating for this Blues Camp here in Chicago. We do one at Chicago State University, and on Sunday we do one at the University of Chicago's Logan Center for the Arts.
So
and it's free, and the Blues Camp is free.
Yeah, it's free, and for both of you, especially maybe the process you went through, Donovan, kids audition online. Did you audition online?
Well, he auditioned some years we have in-person auditions, and then as the program grew, it got to be so successful that we had to do online auditions.
So what do you do, Skype, or how do you do it?
Well, they do. We have the prompts online at blueskids.com/Chicago, and they go on there, and they do one of the songs, one of my songs, and their interpretation of them, their parents videotape them and on their phones, upload it to YouTube. They credit it a certain way, and they put it in their application. And we have a camp also in Los Angeles this year, and we also have one in Nashville, Tennessee, at Tennessee State University. So one of the things that we try to do as educators, as we try to have opportunities for students to study the blues on college campuses, that takes the fear away from them when they do go to college and maybe introduces them to a collegiate lifestyle. And it also gives the blues some sort of a rooting in academia, which is deeply needed.
Donovan, when you play, I mean, when I was at the Sun-Times, I talked about this, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, too, is what happens when you come across a purist who wants to put blues in a certain time period and stuff? And, you know, I would like the Chicago Blues Festival to have the Black Keys or Dickie Betts or Eric Clapton. You know what I mean? Blues evolves and stuff. How do you explain that to people who maybe look at it as a historic, pure thing? And then you can follow up on that, Fernando.
Sure. I think the blues as a genre people redo a lot of it, and it comes out with a newer version of an older song or a look back to the roots. And it's a genre for the people, if you look at it. And you can hear it in so much, whether it's rock, rap, pop, other artists. You can hear the roots of blues in everything. And that's how it may not be the top genre along with rock and pop and rap, but it's in there. You can hear it when you listen to other music. So it evolves along with and goes into each genre.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, Fernando. I mean,
well, I always say if you show me a purist, I'll show you a hypocrite. there's a big advantage to certain people trying to keep the blues quote unquote traditional, you know, because sometimes if you're too good or you're who you want to be, you get away from that particular person and they can't make money off you. I'm fortunate enough to own myself. I own all my publishing and the whole bit, so I really do what I want to do, and I have common sense enough to know how to write a good song and how to produce a pretty good music, and it has to evolve. You know, Muddy Waters' music didn't sound like Charlie Patton's music, and Charlie Patton's music didn't sound like the music that they were singing in the cotton fields, and that music didn't sound like the music that they may have hummed on the slave ships.
Or, you know, and we got to take a break,
like, but it did in Molly.
When Electric Mud came out, people didn't care for it so much. Now people are really digging Electric Mud.
Well, you know, you have to be brave. I was talking to Bruce Iglar a couple weeks ago, and I was saying nobody wants an original until somebody else has one. You know, it's real safe playing the 12-bar blues. It's, you know, it's easy, and it doesn't take much thought, but to put a composition together, you know, you have to work a little bit.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some live music here on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
Real cute and face, everything's in place. The girl is sweet as a candy store. She's 5'4" and don't need no more. 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 She's 5'4". Cold black hair with a brown-eyed stare. She'll make a peaceful man fight her war. She's 5'4" and don't need no more. 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 She's 5'4".
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's Fernando Jones, accompanied by Donovan Linicki. Now tell us about that song.
You know what? I always do a little bit of research when I'm doing songs. And I said, how can I write a song that could appeal to a lot of women in the audience? And I did some research, and the average height of the average American woman is 5'4".
Really?
Which is tall, right? So if you're singing a song and, you know, there are 10 or more people, somebody's going to be that tall.
That's pretty sharp.
Yeah, so you appeal right to your audience.
We talked about Donovan's journey. I know a little bit about your journey. You were born in Mississippi, but you came up here.
No, I was born in Chicago.
Oh, but your family's
grew up back and forth in Mississippi, Mississippi parents and the whole bit. Yeah.
But I like the fact you went to Teresa's. Talk a little about Teresa's as a little kid.
Yeah, my brother, 4E Superstar, would take me down to Teresa's Lounge when I was 4 and 5 years old, and I would hang out with Junior Wills as a kid. I knew Sleepy, Skip the Dog, and all that, and Miss T had me sit in a little booth and the whole bit. My cousins all would be down there. It was like a social center. Robert Earl, Buddy Payne, the Blues Man, all those guys. Roosevelt, you know, and of course, you know, the other guys everybody else knows, Junior Wells, Buddy Guy, Lefty Diz, a cousin of mine.
Yeah, right.
So that was a spot.
What was that like? What type of impression did that make?
You know,
as a little kid.
It left an indelible impression on me because I was in love with my big brothers. You know, and I have 3 older brothers, 2 older sisters, and my brothers were, and my father and my uncles, it was like growing up on a TV show. My brothers were the coolest men that I'd ever seen in my life. Everything they did was cool. You know, the brother closest to me is 8 years older than me, and 4E is probably about 23 years older than me. So when I was a kid, my brothers were men for all practical purposes. So places that they went, I would go. The way that they drove, the way that they smoked cigarettes, you know, the way that they played music, the lifestyle that they lived, that was attractive to me.
That's interesting. Now, that wasn't on my list of questions. Do you talk about family structure in your class? I mean, yes. Things are maybe a little more broken down. I'm guessing what I read, things might be more broken down now than they were back then. But do you talk how important family structure is?
Well, it was important for me because, having parents who were part of the Great Migration from Mississippi, over 500,000 black folk migrated from down south, between 1915 and 1960, and they came to Chicago for a better life. And I was fortunate enough to have two parents that had good jobs and a mother who had a car and a father who had a car. That's rare.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Looking at people back in the 1960s and a woman with a car and independence. And so that transfers to the thought process of the children. And so that's why I'm a free thinker, because my parents were.
What'd your parents do?
Well, my father worked for the post office. He drove the truck, and my mother ran a cleaners for Mr. Weiss up in Skokie.
Really?
So I had some dynamic parents, and I was exposed to almost everything,
East 60th Street? Is that kind of where you grew up?
55 East 60th Street.
Yeah.
Right across from Betsy Ross.
What was that like? Yeah, what was that?
Man, it was like growing up on a television show.
Yeah.
When you look at Spike Lee's Crooklyn or Brooklyn or whatever it was that was called, or Bronx Tale, that's how it was on 60th Street. Some of the people that came out of that, Ernest Dawkins, great jazz player, and my brother were in a band. It was like every second entrance into the apartments, there was a band. There was live music. The guys would play sports during the day, in the summer. And right before the sun went down, they would put on a concert. It was like Woodstock, either in our backyard, or there was a drummer in the neighborhood named Michael Jackson who lived across the street on the other side of 60th. That would have been in the 59th Street block, and they would play in his backyard. Steve Criquet, if anybody's out there listening from 60th in Michigan, St. Anselm's or Bessie Ross, Carter Elementary School, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
I always say, in my neighborhood, people were the big boys, they were either in a gang, athletes and musicians, and some were all three.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna take a break. This is great. Thanks, you guys. And we're going to come back with a song from Donovan. I want to talk also about preservation. I know that's part of what you teach.
Perfect.
So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
What will you do when you get lonely? Nobody waiting by your side. You've been running, hiding much too long. You know it's just your foolish pride. Layla, you got me on my knees. Layla, I'm begging, darling, please. Layla, darling, won't you ease my worried mind? I want to give you consolation. Your old man let you down. Like a fool, I fell in love with you. You turned my whole world upside down. Layla, got me on my knees. Layla, I'm begging, darling, please. Layla, darling, won't you ease my worried mind? Try to give you consolation. Like a thing coming down. Like a fool, I fell in love with you. Left my world upside down. Layla, got me on my knees. Layla, I'm begging, darling, please. Layla, darling, won't you ease my worried mind? Layla, got me on my knees. Layla, I'm begging, darling, please. Layla, darling, won't you ease my worried mind?
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and that's Donovan Linicki doing the Eric Clapton song, Layla Donovan. How did you pick that song, and how did you pick that arrangement? Almost like a little bit of Ben Harper thing. I mean,
during high school, we have this acoustic concert called Coffee House, and.
I know, where's high school? I like details. Where's high school?
I went to Chesterton High School. It's on the beach of the lakeshore in Indiana, the dunes.
Yeah.
And so this coffee house, they have acoustic sets, and people play violin or they'll sing, play guitar. So me and my friend were trying to think of an acoustic song we can do, and we're like, well, what about Eric Clapton Unplugged? Layla, that's a great song. And the Unplugged version, we both really like it, so that's where it came from.
When you were in the camp, what year were you in the camp?
Camp in 2012.
How many people were in camp with you? Roughly, ballpark.
Let's see. I think about 60, maybe?
No, we about 130. Okay. Yeah, from 90 to 130 student musicians from all over.
Because where I'm going with that is, was there an exchange of, like you just talked about how you came up with that song. Did you exchange musical ideas? What did you learn from your classmates?
So when we do our learning in the classrooms, we split up in groups. It's not all every 100 person listens in one group. It's we split up and they have different teachers teaching us. So in my class, I think we had a couple different songs. I can't remember right now. It's been a while, but we would give each other ideas on, oh, I think this should sound this way, or why don't we try it this way, end it this way. It's just like put our own spin on it to make it feel like it's our own. And it was a lot of back and forth. None of the kids are in charge, or no, we're going to do it this way, or it's not the set song. It's let's try it this way, and the teacher would usually agree and try to encourage us to give it our own spin.
Fernando, are there other teachers, or is it just you?
Yes, we have a full cadre of instructors. We have some of the instructors that are on faculty with me at Columbia College, like Gary Yerkins. Frank A. Donaldson.
I don't care. You're
Felton Cruz is one of my instructors. Jackie Scott. Nellie Travis.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
LaShear Moore. Eli Tabor. A bunch of my students. I have maybe 4 or 5 of my students from Columbia College that I have groomed are also instructors at the camp. And then we bring in folks from around other parts of the country. Like we've got Kerry Frazier, who's on faculty at Tennessee State University, so he'll be down with a group of kids. One of my good friends, Chris Jurgensen, who runs the music program at the Tokyo School of Music and Dance, is scheduled to come out. And then we have some special guests.
Yeah, back in the day you had Coco Taylor. Didn't she come?
Well, Coco passed
back before. Yeah,
but she would come to my classroom.
Yeah, right.
Ever since I've been on faculty at Columbia College, knock on wood, since 2005. And every semester, she'd come by my classroom.
Yeah.
Buddy's come by my classroom. Bootsy Collins. We even had Todd Rundgren on campus doing an artist in residency, and he wasn't scheduled to come to our class, and he came and hung out in our class. So we have a lot of high-profile folks that have come through the music program with the focus on the blues in general.
Donovan, what are your aspirations? Do you want to make a career out of music? Where do you want to go with this?
Ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to do architecture. That's what I'm studying at UIC. But yeah, I've always loved music. It's my second love. And if the path allows it, yeah, I would love to continue playing music throughout my life.
Because that's one of the teaching things I was reading in some of your background, Fernando. So many people want to strive to be the best or to get famous or to, but you really have to embrace growth. In any profession.
Well, yeah, you're exactly. You know, it's like that book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know, the mice who didn't move, you know, they starved. So you have to grow. And you can't be you cannot be afraid of your own superpower. And you cannot let other folks set limitations on your aspirations. And I see it happen so much to my colleagues in different forms of music where they, you know, you put out 20 albums and all the albums sound the same.
Yeah, yeah. So give the listeners again how they can find out more about the camp.
Parents and guardians can go to blueskids.com/Chicago and find out how their blues kid can participate in my blues camp at Columbia College Chicago, Chicago State University, and the University of Chicago at the Logos Center for the Arts. They can also find out all about my international camps and my camp in Los Angeles and in Nashville, Tennessee. blueskids.com, or if they can't remember that, they can go to fernandojones.com. They all link up together. And the camps are free. And we have something that's really unique. The parents and guardians of the kids who are in blues camp, if they are musicians and want to be weekend warriors, they too can participate, and they're part of the Blues Mamas and the Blues Daddies.
I was just going to ask them.
And then we have them opening up for the parents.
Yeah.
I have them opening up for the blues kids. So it becomes a familial situation.
Bill, weren't you in that band, the Blues Daddy? So I was looking here. Yeah, Wednesday, yeah. July 11th, 6 to 9 p.m., Reggie's Music Joint, Blues Kids, Blues Mamas and Daddies band perform.
Right.
So elaborate on that.
Right. Yeah. Well, they open up for all the kids. You know, so on Tuesday,
great.
We're going to be at Motor Row Brewing Company with Bob Lasandrillo.
Uh-huh.
And the parents will play, the kids will play, and we have a good time. And that's going to be part of our fundraiser for that week. And we have a performance at Navy Pier on that Thursday. Reggie's Rock Club, obviously, on that Wednesday night. Navy Pier that Thursday. And we have our annual white party where everybody dresses up in their fine white clothes and comes to the Glessner House Mansion. And that's part of our annual fundraiser. And then we'll be at Chicago State University with Blues Camp on that Saturday. And we'll be at the University of Chicago Logan Center for the Arts on that Sunday, and it's all free through the Blues Kids Foundation.
In your curriculum, you use cover songs, right?
Well, in that, yes, we do use cover songs, but I also use my own tunes.
So cover songs, what do you pick, and why do you pick the songs
you pick? Well, that's a great question. We pick age-appropriate material. That's one of the big things. And you also want to pick songs that are skill set appropriate as well as challenging. You know, we do some appropriate songs. You know, I think we do something by Howlin' Wolf, Smokestack Lightning. And we do something, obviously, by Muddy Waters. And we do stuff that means something to me personally, since my name is on it. Junior Wells meant a lot to me. He called me his godson, so we'll do Messing with the Kid and stuff like that. I try to love those who have loved me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to do something by Coco Taylor because that promotes my good friend Bruce Iglauer, and it promotes the legacy of Coco Taylor. I also do contemporary stuff. Let me see. What's my man? Rafael Sadiq.
Oh, yeah. I like him. Yeah.
He's a dynamite guy. He has some blues sound.
Do you know Rafael Sadiq?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like more of a soul thing.
Yeah,
old school. Yeah,
yeah, but it's a blues thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we have that in
about.
There.
Yeah.
And I listen to all types of music, and if I hear a popular song that has some blues molecular structure to it, then I'll put that in it, because you have to engage your audience. You have to catch them where they are in order to take them wherever it is that you want them to be. And we make it fun, entertaining, and engaging, and that's why the camp has been successful, you know. And it's free, because we don't want to discriminate against a kid who may be rich, and we don't want to discriminate against a kid who may not be have the resources. We want this camp to be for the kid that wants to be there. And then that takes a lot of struggle out of it, you know, so we don't have to take a kid because we're taking their money if the kid is going to be disruptive to the learning process.
Donovan, have you seen that? Did you see a lot of diversity in your classmates?
Oh, yeah. We've had kids from Colombia.
Yeah.
Colombia, really?
Colombia,
yeah,
South America. Cartagena.
Oh, yeah,
South America. We had about 40 kids one year from there. We have kids that come in from Canada. As a matter of fact, one of the kids, Grady, is in his band that they met in blues camp. And that's the cool thing. These kids, they meet each other at blues camp, and they form bands. You know, we have a bunch of kids that are high-profile kids now. You know, like Jeremiah Rogers, who has been part of my Blues Kids of America program since he was 5 years old. Ray Gorin, who just turned 17 or 18, has been produced by Eddie Kramer, who produced, you know, the stuff on Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
He's recorded with Leon Russell before Leon Russell died, so on and so forth. We had a kid that's on Broadway, Gary Niedauer, in School of Rock. So these kids are doing something.
Back up to your band, Grady.
Yeah.
Tell me about Grady.
So Grady is from Windsor, Canada, which is otherwise known as South Detroit.
Yeah, there's great steaks and strip clubs in Windsor.
North
right?
Detroit.
Right, Bill?
Yeah. it's South.
Yes, okay.
And it's great, too. We have diversity in our band. A lot of us are from, everyone usually is basically from Chicago.
Yeah, plug your band. I mean.
Yeah, we're The Instinct. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at The Instinct Band. And we actually have a show. We are playing at the Windsor Blues Fest, and we'll be playing with Johnny Lang, Night Ranger, who
really?
Else? Beth Hart. They'll be all there. So it's great because we can put our roots into Chicago, and then we can also have our roots in Canada. So we have fans kind of in both countries, and it helps a lot when you look at it.
Do you like Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons is everywhere.
Yeah, I love Tim Hortons.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The like, Dunkin' Donuts of the North.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people are in the band?
We have five. We have Adem Dalapi's our guitarist and singer. I'm Don Alonicki, a bassist and singer. We have Oval Zalcha. He plays keyboards and harmonica. Stacey Norris plays drums. And Grady Kaplan, who plays guitar.
You play. You got a nice audience out there. Checking you out. Do you play around Chicago at all?
Yes, we do. We play. Let's see. We play a lot of blues. That's how we met with blues camp events. We've played at the Chicago Fire before the games.
Good.
We do play around Chicago a lot. We have Summerfest in Bolingbrook. We'll be having, I think, a 2.5-hour show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When's that?
That is in August, I think. I don't know the exact date, but I know it's in August.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and you're going to come back with another live song, right?
Okay,
you can
cool.
do that?
Yeah.
So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
I go to work in the morning, baby, like a slave. I get home in the evening and you wanna rant and rave. Baby, you're no good, low down, no good, pretty woman. Well, my friends say leave you alone, but you got it going on. I get my check on Friday, lay it on your table. I don't know if you're willing, but I know that you're able. Baby, you're no good, low down, no good, pretty woman. Well, my friends say leave you alone, but you got it going on. Thank you.
Journal on WGN. And tell us about that song, Fernando.
That song is called Low Down, No Good, Pretty Woman. Probably one of my oldest tunes, one of my fan favorites. And just playing the blues.
I know you're so busy. Have you done a recording? Have you recorded?
Yeah, I've got about 7-8 recordings.
When was the last one?
The last one we released a live one, I think about 2 years ago. But I'm always recording, like Prince and Babyface. I'm always recording. And the man that I am now is living through the lens of that 4-year-old boy who started playing back in 1968.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I play, I write, I draw, I publish. I just do myself. I cut grass. At home, I plant. Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about your book, I Was There When the Blues Was Red Hot.
We just released, I think, the 6th edition. It originally came out in 1990, and pretty much it is called I Was There with the When the Blues Was Red Hot. Let me read my subtitle.
Okay.
Oh, from a historical perspective with a focus on the future.
Yeah.
So probably one of the few books to ever care enough about kids to interview kids about the blues, as well as African-American PhDs talking about the blues and players themselves. You know, sometimes people think black intellects are less black or less blues people. And so we disprove that, obviously, in the book.
How can people find out more about you? You're plugging the camp. But
you can go to blues. You can go to FernandoJones.com, FernandoJones.com. And you can also come see me play at the Blues Fest next Saturday afternoon. And you can also come see me at the Motoro Brewing Company. We have our own blues night there called the Altruistic Music Festival. It's going to start at 6 o'clock, and it's going to go all the way to 1 a.m. I'm going to come on at 11 p.m., and we're going to have a midnight jam, the city's only midnight jam. So we're inviting all of our friends who play the blues and they want to have a chance to do their thing on the Blues Festival weekend and have a good time. And also, if there are any strategic partners that want to come on board for our blues camp, they too can reach out to us at blueskids.com.
Now, I don't know if you do this at Columbia or you do this in the camp, but I think this is really interesting. I was reading some of your teaching tools, and you have students write about the city's landscapes and the city's...
Yeah, that's from my course, Chicago Blues Scene from Past to Preservation.
Yeah.
And basically...
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. We're getting ready for the stay out all night.
Yeah, and so basically what we do is... It's pretty much a class without walls. And the students obviously learn about the blues. They learn about the Great Migration. They learn about the slave trade and a whole bit, which are all essential parts of why the blues exists. And they also take that information and they become hierophants and they document the Chicago blues scene from their own perspective. So we put them in groups of maybe three or four, and we give them a topic. Maybe a topic will be female blues singers. And so it's up to them to interpret that any way that they want. And we send them out to the clubs, and they interview, and then they put together a project demonstrating excellence on their perspective of what that means, you know.
And what's the age group of these students?
Well, my college, at Blues Camp, the age is 12 to 18.
And the students.
But if there are some 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old blues kids out there, and you think that they deserve an opportunity to hang out, then you can reach us at blueskits.com /Chicago.
Do your students perceive, can they see that the city doesn't do the best job of preserving the blues landmarks?
Well, my students love music so much and love the blues so much, they don't even know anything about politics. All they know is they have a home with Mr. Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think about the preservation in Chicago?
Well,
we just talked off air. I mean, we've talked about the Muddy Waters house here.
Well, I mean, you know, it's always easy.
Tim Samuelson from the city has told us that Muddy Waters house is the most significant house in the city of Chicago.
Yeah,
well, it's falling apart.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, who owns the house and what are they going to do with it? You know, all you can do is just make sure that your house is straight and hope that your house will be worth something one day. You know?
But you got to know your neighbors, too.
Yeah. you know
what I mean? Yeah.
Steven Tyler, great blues man from Aerosmith, said, "It's not the cough that takes you off, it's the coffin they take you off in."
That's good. So, Donovan, tell us again how people can find your band. And
You can find us on our website at instinctband.com and our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, The Instinct Band. And, of course, if you follow us, we'll always lead you to Blues Camp, too. So.
And did you find out that date in Bolingbrook, you said?
It's...
Whoa. Wow. Okay, that's all right. Show goes on.
Yeah. BluesKids.com/Chicago.
August 8th. Okay, at Bolingbrook. August 8th.
Give me that again. I didn't hear it.
August 8th at Bolingbrook at 7 o'clock.
Okay. One last thing here. I mean, again, I was teaching the blues effectively. I like, you do this as part of the thing where you do the mantra. I am somebody.
Let's
close out with that. Talk about that.
I am somebody. I am a musician. A musician is a person that makes music. A good musician listens, and a musician that listens learns. A musician that learns earns. So we do that to keep us together because it's very important to listen, and it's very important for the blues to have a home in academia. And that's what I'm all about, and we have a good time, and sometimes we have to sit in the bleachers of our own lives to see what's happening and wonder no more because we're doing a good thing. So on behalf of Blues Camp, we love you. Dave Hoekstra and WGN, thank you for letting us be a part of the molecular structure of your life.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Fernando Jones and Donovan Lenicki, and good luck to you guys, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll be back after David Jennings and the news on WGN.